Hey guys, it's Scott. I just want to thank you for tuning into the Blue Ridge Church podcast. You know, I hope this is encouraging to you. I hope it's inspiring to you. And I pray most of all, it's going to help you on your faith journey. So enjoy today. Hey, it's great to see you guys. I want to welcome you again to Blue Ridge Church. Welcome to our online campus. My name is Scott, and I just want to say happy Easter. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day, out of your schedule, to be with us, to worship with us, really to worship the fact that Jesus is alive, that the tomb is empty. And as fitting as it is for Easter, we are going to go back and we are going to look at the resurrection story. And my hope is today, maybe you'll see it just a little bit different if you're familiar with the story than you have in the past. But and if you're not familiar with the story, then maybe it'll move your heart a little bit in one direction, closer to God. But we're going to look at it from the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 24. All the verses we use today will be on the side screens, or you can download that Church Center app and follow along. But let's just read it together, and then what we'll do is we'll kind of go back and we'll start to unpack this. But Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 1. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." So these ladies who have heard this story, they immediately rush to find anybody they can find, to find the disciples, and to tell them exactly what had happened. But then, in an instant, the whole tone of the story changes. In verse 11 of Luke 24, it says, "But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it." They didn't believe that Jesus had come back from the dead. They said, you know, this sounds a little far-fetched. They probably had more questions than they had answers. To them, it probably sounded like urban legend, or this was all made up, but they didn't believe it. And then in Luke 24, verse 12, it says, "However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened." Even Peter, he's wondering what has happened. He's doing his own little investigation. He's trying to figure out exactly what had happened, to connect the dots, to be able to answer for people what was going on. Now, a lot of you, I'm betting, have heard that story. Maybe you heard that story as a kid. Or maybe it had a little bit of a different angle on it because you looked at it from one of the different gospel accounts in the scripture. But that's the story of the resurrection. And maybe there was a point in your life that you heard that story and you put your faith in Christ. That's where you would say, hey, my faith journey began, when I fully understood the resurrection story. Others of you, maybe you would say, my faith began, you know, at a different time in my life, a different point in my life. Sometimes it's as a kid, sometimes it's as a grown adult. But the point is, everybody has a starting point from their faith journey, whatever it is they believe. Some of you would say today, I've got faith in Christ. I've already made that decision. Others may say, you know what? I don't know. I don't know where I land with God. I don't know about Jesus and the claims
of Jesus. And that's okay. Keep asking questions. Keep doing what you're doing, investigating. But others may say, hey, I'm with those disciples. That seems a little far-fetched that a man came back to life. It sounds pretty hard for me to believe. But the point is, at some point, our faith journey started. And if you have faith in Christ, that moment was when your heart was changed to believe Jesus is who he said he is, the Son of Man, the Savior of the world, the Messiah. Now, if you're a parent, and I know a lot of you are parents because I've seen the kids area this morning, but if you're a parent, you want to kind of set the standards for your kids, don't you? You want to set the standard for your kids as far as their faith journey. You want them to follow your footsteps on your faith journey. It's not like they become of age, you know. Let's say they become 7 years old or 8 years old and you hand them a book of world cults, right? And say, hey, here's all the cults in the world. Here's all the world religions. Just pick one. We want you to follow something. It's your life. You can do whatever you want. No, we want our kids to follow the path that we set for them on the faith journey, knowing full well we can't force them, right, to follow in our footsteps. Can't force faith on anyone, but we certainly want to steer our kids to the truth, and we want that faith journey to have a starting point. The good news is it's not completely up to us, is it, as parents? God's still involved in that process. God's constantly calling people to himself. And I would encourage you, maybe you've had a kid, they're a grown adult now, and they've completely veered away from their faith journey. They've just gone in the complete opposite direction. I've got a couple of friends that are in the same situation, and they're terrified for their kids, but I would remind you, just like I remind them, God's in the process. He hasn't just left. He still calls people to himself, desiring that relationship. But as a parent, ultimately, we want our kids to follow our footsteps. But the whole point is, wherever that started, whoever you followed, your faith journey has a beginning. And here's what you're going to discover the older you get. And it's learning number one. This is going to happen. As we mature, we get to the point in life we have to embrace what we believe. Right? Whatever it is that we believe, we have to go all in. We have to be completely sold out. And you know what you're going to discover? You're going to discover when that point comes that there is a space between what you believed and reality. There's going to be maybe a little space or a lot of space, but there's going to be a difference in what your parents told you and reality. Or there's going to be a gap between what the pastor told you and reality. Now, I know that only happens when Pastor Cody speaks, but you know what I'm talking about. At some point, we come face to face with this gap between what we believed or what we heard in reality, and we have to do something with that gap. And all of us are going to deal with that gap in different ways. Some people, if you start, let's say you started following Christ at a young age, you're just going to cling to that childhood faith. I'm not going to listen to anything outside of that. I'm going to cling to that childhood faith. Other people, they take on that gap. They say, wait a minute, either reality's wrong or what the pastor said is wrong, but we get to the point that we start dissecting that gap and we learn where we settle, right? This is what I believe. And unfortunately, a lot of people, they face that gap. They don't want to deal with it at all, so they completely abandon their faith altogether. Well, wouldn't it be nice if we knew for our kids or even us that when we matured and as we matured, we never had a gap. We never had a gap that we had to deal with. Wouldn't it be great if we could go back in a race, everything we've learned that was misinformation, so that we have an accurate picture, a complete picture of who Jesus is and what the resurrection truly means. That would be awesome, that we wouldn't even have to deal with it. And I think whatever it is we believe and wherever it is that we land, we want to be 100% sure this is it, right? And that's kind of what I hope to convince you of today, and to be able to maybe unwind or get rid of some of that misinformation. Now think about the word belief for a minute. We believe certain things, or you know, we use faith and belief. We use those words interchangeably. But when we say we have faith in Christ, we believe in Christ. We have belief in Christ. Belief is one of the greatest strengths that God has given us, the ability to be able to believe. Because I think every idea, every thing in life, it starts with a belief, doesn't it? Every invention, somebody believed this could be invented. Every problem ever solved, somebody believed that problem could be solved, and then they solved it. Every business that was started, somebody believed, hey, people are going to buy this. This is what we need to do. I think it's one of the greatest strengths God has given us is the power to believe. Even Jesus talked about the power of belief. He said, if we believe, we can move mountains. Right? Mark 11:23. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must, what? Really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Now, some of you may look at that verse and say, that seems a little out there. That seems a little far-fetched for me. But it's spot on. And the truth is, we have all seen it. We've seen mountains move, career mountains, educational mountains, the mountain of slavery, the mountain of civil rights, the mountain of childhood diseases, and all those things don't exist anymore. Why? Because we believed that those things could be changed. We believed those things could be moved, and with God's strength, those mountains were moved. So that's why I think belief is a great strength that we have. It's belief that urges us to keep going. So we want our faith belief to be accurate. And once we believe something, you know what we do? We go out and we start looking for information that supports what we believe, that aligns with what we believe. And that's why I say that belief is so powerful, but I also think that's why it's so dangerous, right? Because we can become so short-sighted, because often we're not open to hearing anything that doesn't perfectly align with what it is we believe, because we think we're right. I am right a lot of times in my household. Now, my wife will tell you that is not true, and she's probably right. But if I believe something, and I believe I'm right about something, I don't tend to listen to anything that goes against what I already believe to be right. That's just our natural tendency. The problem is we do that when it comes to our faith. And that's why I say sometimes we have these misunderstandings, but we never deal with them. So maybe I can illustrate for you how powerful belief is. Who do you think has the best relationships in the world? Or has the best friendships and most successful friendships in the world? Or who has the best marriages in the world? And it's people who believe the best in the people that they're with. If you are constantly looking for the worst or believing the worst in your husband, you're going to see the worst. But if you're believing the best in your husband, guess what? You're going to see the best. If you believe the best in your wife, you're going to see the best in your wife. If you believe the best in your boss, you're going to see the best in your boss. So a lot of times, believing is seeing. Not seeing is believing, but believing is seeing. Again, though, when it comes to our beliefs, especially of a faith nature, our natural tendency is to push back from anything that doesn't line up with our beliefs. And then what we do is we surround ourselves with people that believe the exact same way that we do. Right? Look at the world. Political people tend to think and believe the same way. Educational people tend to think and believe the same way. Christians tend to think and believe the same way. Now, I know there's tons of different denominations and there's differences across those denominations, but if you get in a denomination and you look, most of those people believe and think the same way. So belief is incredibly powerful. Can you imagine a world without belief? The answer is no, because what? Our imagination and belief, they're tied together. So here's what we need to understand, I believe. Learning number two, if it were not for our ability to believe, we would have no hope. We'd have no hope. Belief is what makes life happy, and belief is what makes life exciting, and belief is what gives us hope. That's why it's one of the greatest gifts, I think, that God has given us. Listen to Ephesians 2:8. God saved you by His grace when what? When you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. John 6:44, for no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up. So belief is an incredible gift. So what's the difference in religious belief and any other belief? Well, obviously, religious beliefs are tied to things of a religious nature. And all religions have beliefs, don't they? Even atheists have beliefs. They believe there is no God. Muslims believe that an angel spoke to the prophet Muhammad. Buddhists believe in reincarnation. Universalists, they believe in multiple gods. Christians believe that Jesus is God. That Jesus came to this earth and died for our sins almost 2,000 years ago and was raised from the dead. That's why we're here today. That's what we're celebrating, right? That Jesus rose from the dead Easter Sunday. But what can trip us up is if we're not careful, we're constantly looking for ways to filter out things that that go against our beliefs, and we're looking for things that support our beliefs. Okay? So what do we do? What if you find yourself and you don't believe anything? I would encourage you to believe something, because studies will show you that people who have a belief in something greater than themselves, they live longer. They live better lives, happier lives, more prosperous lives. So believe something and see if your heart changes. My encouragement to you is believe that Jesus truly is who He said He is, and I hope to prove that to you today. And I think what may help is if I just simply share with you why I'm a Christian, why I'm a follower of Jesus. And it has everything to do with what we just talked about, belief. And so what I want to do is I want to unwind and go back to that story we read, and I want us to try to put ourselves in the shoes of the disciples right after the crucifixion. Because after the crucifixion, those disciples believed certain things, right? They believed that this is the same disciples that were with Jesus, that wrote about Jesus. They believed that Jesus was dead after the crucifixion. There was doubt even after the resurrection, but certainly there was doubt among all of them after the crucifixion as to who Jesus really was. But there was no doubt that He was dead. They believed he was dead. And after he died, initially they believed that he wasn't the Messiah, because they were thinking, well, if he's the Messiah, he's the Savior of the world, he's not going to be able to save us because he's dead. They doubted that maybe he's not the Son of God. They believe maybe he's not the Son of God. Because if he was the Son of God, there's no way he would have died. That's what they believed after he was crucified. They believed that Rome had won and Jesus had lost because Jesus died. And this is very important. If we just stop right there and we stop the story right there, right after his death, and if we aligned with what the disciples believed, they believed it was over. They believed because he was dead, it's over. And listen, if Jesus was dead, I wouldn't believe either. You wouldn't believe either. But that was the mindset of those closest followers of his after the crucifixion. They were struggling. He's dead. This is over. And if they were right, then guess what? Christianity becomes like every other religion in the world. The leader's dead. Gandhi, he's dead. But his followers elevated his teachings and made sure they were distributed. Muhammad's dead, but his followers elevated his teachings and made sure they were distributed. Joseph Smith of the Mormons, he's dead, but his followers elevated his teachings and made sure they were distributed. Charles Taze Russell and Joseph Franklin Rutherford, they died, but their followers elevated their teachings and made sure they were distributed. So that is true of all other religious leaders, except for Jesus. It's not true of Jesus at all, yet his followers were thinking that immediately after the crucifixion. Can you imagine their conversations? Well, what do you believe? I don't know now. I thought he was the Messiah. I thought he was the Son of God. I don't know. He's dead. Are you going to go out and distribute his teachings? Are you going to elevate his teachings? No. Are you crazy? They'll put us to death. We're outlaws now. See, everything that Jesus taught hinged on who he said he was. Everything Jesus taught hinged on who he claimed to be. And when he was alive, they thought he was the Savior of the world. Not just a great teacher, but that changed immediately on his death. Remember the verse we just read. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. The people who knew him best, the people who watched him, that hung out with him, that saw the miracles, they believed he was dead, folks, and that he wasn't coming back. That was their mindset. But here's why I'm a Christian, because a few days later, a few weeks later, these same followers of Jesus who went into hiding because they were scared to death for their lives, and rightfully so, they went out and started to preach about Jesus. They didn't wait a year. They didn't wait 2 years or 5 years. They didn't wait for all the dust to settle and everybody just to calm down. They went into the same city where their lives were in danger, and they started to preach about Jesus. What did they preach? They didn't preach the Beatitudes. They didn't teach about the miracles of Jesus or the stories of Jesus. No, they said, hey, the Jews put Jesus to death and killed him on a cross, and God raised him from the dead. And here's the kicker. And they said, and we have seen him. And then they went on to tell him, hey, you need to repent and turn of your sins, right? Repent is just a fancy church word that means I'm going to stop sinning and I'm going to walk towards Jesus. I'm going to turn away from those sins. But they went out and they said, hey, the Jews killed him. God raised him from the dead, and we've seen him. Paul said the same thing. He said, God has done something in our midst, and he's given us proof. How? By raising his son from the dead. Luke said the same thing. Acts chapter 17. 30 and 31. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times. But now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. So you know why everybody should be a Christian? Not because of what these people believed, but because of what they ended up saying about Jesus. See, these folks claimed they saw something. Not were taught something. Not believed something. Not heard something. They saw something. They saw a resurrected Savior. And they were changed forever. And they said, God's done something for the whole world. He raised his son from the dead. And what we need to understand is these disciples, all of these followers of Jesus, the over 500 eyewitnesses that Paul talks about, their lives were in danger for speaking about Jesus. Rome was done with Jesus. They wanted to wipe any mention of Jesus off the face of the planet. And so after the resurrection, if you claimed that you saw Jesus alive and the Romans heard you, you were executed. There wasn't going to be a trial. No need to hire some slick lawyer. Wasn't going to be any appeals process. You were executed for talking about Jesus. And the truth of life is nobody's going to die for a lie. If these people were just making it up, if this is just a big hoax that they saw Jesus alive, they would have denounced Jesus as soon as they got caught. They're out there saying, hey, we saw Jesus alive. They get caught by the Romans. Rome said, what did you say? They would have denounced Jesus if it was all made up. But they could not stop talking about Jesus. And a lot of them lost their lives because of it, because they saw something. Not because they believed something, they saw something. He came back to life. They saw a man who was dead, and 3 days later, they saw him raised to life. So learning number three, this is the foundation of our faith. Jesus rose from the dead. That's why we have Easter. That's why we celebrate Easter, that the tomb is empty. We believe that Jesus died for our sins, and he rose from the dead. We don't just believe because somebody said, this is what you need to believe. We believe because Jesus rose from the dead. Listen, if he didn't rise from the dead, why are we here? We should be a Cracker Barrel. Our faith is useless if he didn't come back to life. Paul even said it himself. 1 Corinthians 15:14, and if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching's useless, and your faith is useless. Here's what we need to understand. Listen, if you don't hear anything else today or remember anything else today that was said, I want you to get this. The first followers of Jesus were not willing to die for what they believed. The first followers of Jesus were not willing to die for what they believed, but they were willing to die for what they saw. And that was a resurrected Jesus. And we believe today because Matthew, who was an eyewitness, recorded it for us and wrote about it. We believe because Mark, who spent a lot of time with Jesus' disciples, who were all eyewitnesses, he wrote about it. We believe because Luke, who was an educated doctor, who was very detail-oriented, recorded everything for us in chronological order, talked to the disciples so that we didn't miss a thing. We believe because John, who took care of Jesus' very own mother, wrote about it and was an eyewitness. We believe because James, Jesus' brother, was an eyewitness and wrote about it. Listen, if this was all a hoax, the one person that you're not going to pull the wool over their eyes is your sibling, right? They know you better than just about anybody. But James was an eyewitness. How in the world could all of these people have been so convinced? And only one thing could have done that. I saw him dead, and 3 days later, I saw him alive again. Paul said there was over 500 eyewitness accounts who were willing to die for what they had seen. And you know what? A lot of them did. A lot of them did. So I think the fundamental question as we wrap up today, this Easter, is that we have to wrestle with is, well, who is this Jesus to me? Who is this Jesus to me? In a single event, changed the way those closest to him answered that question. That single event, the resurrection, it changed everything. And you know what that means? It means that when you and I pray, we can believe that God hears our prayers because Jesus, who rose from the dead, told us that God answers our prayers and hears our prayers. That means that we can be assured of salvation and assured of eternal life because Jesus, who rose from the dead, told us about salvation and told us about eternal life. Folks, Jesus conquered physical death. Not to be a party pooper before you go have a nice meal and look for Easter eggs, but every single one of us is going to physically die. Unless Jesus comes back, we're going to go through physical death, right? But physical death, we don't have to fear anymore. Why? Because Jesus conquered it. And when we have a relationship with Jesus, we too will conquer physical death. That's why he told us that we'll have eternal life. Paul said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Happens like that. Jesus coming back to life proved he was who he said he was. I'm not a Christian because my mom and dad said this is what you need to believe. I'm not a Christian because I go to church most Sundays and help my church and love my church and support my church. I'm a Christian because Jesus rose from the dead. And that proved that he is the Savior of the world, that he is the Messiah, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he is God in flesh when he came to this earth. He proved it once and for all who he was. So maybe you're here today or watching from home, and maybe that's a piece of the puzzle that you needed to put your trust in Christ. Maybe you've never done that. Man, I want to encourage you to do that. Don't put it off. And if that's something you want to do when we pray, I'll lead you in a prayer to do that. So let's pray together. God, thank you so much that we can come together today to worship you and to celebrate you in the fact that you sent your Son for all of us sinful people. You sent your Son to pay the penalty for us. And Jesus, thank you for going through with the cross and the crucifixion. And Jesus, thank you for 3 days later giving us hope and coming back to life, teaching us so many things, but the most important, you are who you said you are. You're the Messiah, the Savior of the world, God Almighty. If you're watching or here today and you've never said yes to Jesus, open your heart to him. I'll lead you in a prayer to do that. You're not praying out loud. I'll just pray from your heart to say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin separates me from you. I want a relationship with you. I want to be forgiven. I want eternal life. So as best I know how, I'm inviting you into my life. Make me a new person. Help me to be the person that you want me to be. And God, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for these people. Our online campus, the folks here, Lord, they could have been doing anything today. Students, they could have been studying. Parents could have been off somewhere with their kids, but they chose to be here with you, to worship you and to praise you because you love us. Thank you for them, and thank you for that fact. In Christ's name, amen. A couple of just really quick things. If you invited Jesus into your life for the first time, which you would just do me a favor and stop by the hub on your way out. We've got some information to give you. If you're watching online, tell your online host. I promise I'm not going to show up at your house on Monday and say, now, are you coming to church next Sunday? You know, I'm not going to check up on you. It's to help you along on your faith journey. There's a Bible in there, some other things to, just to help you. If you need prayer today, our wonderful prayer team is up here in the front of the stage every Sunday after every service. Just find one of them at the end of service and ask them to pray for you. Or if you've got a friend or a family member you want to pray for, they will do that for you. If you're worshiping through giving, you can do that in the black boxes if you're here. Better yet, our website. That helps us so much. Thank you for what you do for our church. Next Sunday, we're kicking off a new series called Everybody Questions. Everybody questions and everybody questions, right? We're going to try to dig into deeper what we've talked about today, but we're going to try to answer some of those most difficult questions in life. You know, why did Jesus have to die? Is there more than one way to heaven? Why do good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people? What's the meaning of life? So I want to encourage you, grab a friend, 8:30, 9:45, or 11, and join us. And then the final thing, if you have kids that are kindergarten through fifth grade, first of all, do not leave them here this afternoon. Please take them home with you. Second thing, our kids' camp's coming up in June, June 9th through June 12th, Monday through Thursday, 6 to 8:30 p.m. here at the church. Last year, it was an incredible experience for all our kids. If you've got a kid in that age group and they would like to do that, you need to go ahead and get them signed up. There's a deadline. I think over 125 kids have already signed up, but they want to order T-shirts. So if you've got a kid in that age bracket, go ahead and sign them up. Thank you for coming. I hope you have a blessed Easter and a great week. God bless you guys.